This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, the return of what some critics call one of the most influential and least known black films of the 1970s. First, though, in Colorado, the judge in the rape trial of NBA star Kobe Bryant is considering requests by the defense to question the accuser on her sexual history. The defense team wants to ask her about other sexual partners she may have had around the time of the incident last summer with Kobe Bryant. The lawyers also want to use evidence of the woman's sexual past to question her credibility and motives, as well as the source of her injuries. But to do all this, they'll have to get over a legal hurdle that's known as Colorado's Rape Shield Law. Joining us to discuss the law is Slate and Day to Day legal analyst Dahlia Lithwick. Dahlia, welcome back to Day to Day. And where are we in these Kobe Bryant proceedings?
We're at the stage that's called pretrial hearings. There's still no trial date for the formal trial set. But what we're doing is hearing motions and evidence. It's essentially sort of gatekeeping to determine what sorts of evidence, what sorts of argument are going to be allowed at the trial. And there are a couple of really important issues that the judge is meant to be considering right now. One, whether Kobe Bryant was illegally questioned. One, whether the accuser has lost her privacy interest in her own medical records by discussing them. And perhaps most importantly, the constitutionality of these rape shield laws in Colorado.
So what is it that his lawyers want in the way of physical evidence, and what do they want to argue if they can get it?
Well, what his attorneys are specifically sought and successfully obtained yesterday were portions of two pairs of underwear that the alleged victim was wearing at the time of the alleged rape and also the next day for a medical exam. Their claim is that the accuser slept with multiple partners, including two people who are going to be witnesses for the prosecution, and they feel that they can not only question the witness's credibility, but the victim's own credibility, and perhaps importantly, as you suggested, to suggest that someone else, in fact, caused these injuries that are the crucial piece of evidence in this alleged crime.
So is all this covered by this rape shield law, and how common are these laws?
These laws are incredibly common, Alex. 49 states and the federal rules of evidence have all enacted different kinds of, but essentially the same laws in the 1970s. And in general, what they say is that victims' sexual pasts are presumed absolutely irrelevant in rape cases. This isn't a blanket rule. The defense can overcome this rule, but they have to meet a very high burden of showing the judge that this information is much more probative than prejudicial.
Isn't Colorado's rape shield law thought to be very strict compared to other states? And if that's so, why has the judge agreed that the defense can get a look at the accuser's underwear?
Well, because the rule has built-in exceptions for certain kinds of evidence. And in this case, there's an exception for evidence that shows specific encounters and the origin of semen, if it may exonerate the defendant, is allowed in even under Colorado's rape shield law.
Kobe Bryant's lawyers are arguing that it's unfair for his sexual history to be examined while the accuser's is not. Do they have a point there, and can they prevail on that argument?
Well, it's certainly an argument that's being made in op-ed pages around the country, that it seems sort of patently unfair to scrutinize his sexual past and not hers. But I think it's probably important to remember that this is just still a different kind of crime from other crimes. There is a special sort of shame and humiliation that attaches to women that means that it may, in fact, be permissible to protect victims in these crimes in different ways than we protect victims of, say, muggings. Whether we've created these laws by massively overcorrecting for that stigma is a valid question.
Dahlia, most news organizations have policies that say they're not going to name the alleged victim in rape cases, although in this case the accuser's name has leaked out on some internet sites. Is her name going to be used in court, or is that also covered by rape shield laws?
That's a great question. There's a misperception that the media has been governed by the Colorado Rape Shield Law, and that's not true. As you point out, those are internal policies of news organizations. In this case, there was a strange and controversial early step, though. The judge instructed the media not to name the victim or the accuser, and even though some of us have argued that that may be an unconstitutional prior restraint, he won't give seats in the courtroom to anyone who names her. And so because he's an emperor in his own courtroom, he's been allowed to do that, and that's how he's controlled the naming of the victim so far.
Opinion and analysis from Dahlia Lithwick. She writes the jurisprudence column for Slate. Dahlia, thanks for joining us again on Day to Day.
My pleasure, Alex.
This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.